And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today we are focusing on all things space. We're talking about all things space comm, I should say. We are talking about the impact that space comm has on the region, and we're talking about the various assets that belong to the military as well as private contractors who are involved in the effort to keep our space secure. And joining us right now from the Chamber of Commerce is the Chief Defense Development Officer, Reginald Reggie Ash. And thank you so much for joining us today on The Extra, Reggie.
Good morning, Shannon. Great to be with you today.
Oh, it's such a meaty topic when you're talking about all the very many layers that connect SpaceCom to this region, to this state. So let's talk about, I guess, what you see as the biggest impact in terms of dollars, in terms of people that SpaceCom has on this region.
Well, you know, SpaceCom, it's already here. For example, at the provisional location, we are the provisional location for the next 6 years. And the immediate impact is that it's 1,400 higher paying jobs for us. And if it's here permanently, there's going to be a military construction, a MILCOM project that approaches, we think, $1 billion. And then there's a lot of industry that follows behind it. So there's just a tremendous impact on our local economy for that. Something that will help us crawl out of this pandemic that we're in, the pandemic recession that we're in, and set us up for long-term success as well.
But we're not the only candidates for the permanent location. Tell us what the status is of that selection process.
So the Air Force has officially announced that there are 26 states that have nominated. We've heard some rumors that there could be as many as 56 communities across the United States that have self-nominated. The process for this was that the mayors of communities that met the initial screening criteria could nominate, and that then governors would have to endorse that nomination. That had to be done by the 30th of June. Of course, Mayor Suthers had our nomination in, I think, on the very 1st of June, and soon after that, Governor Polis signed it. And, you know, so we're ready for this. The Air Force knows that we're ready and we're excited. And there's a lot of people in the Air Force and the Space Force who know the great things that Colorado Springs has for space.
And being the provisional headquarters, what does that give us any advantage, you think, in this race to land the permanent place?
Shannon, I certainly think it gives us an advantage because it helps the Space Force and the Department of the Air Force know that Colorado Springs has the workforce that can do this. And, you know, not only that, not only do we have the workforce, but getting it done right now, there's infrastructure that's being built. And, you know, if they move it, that's going to be so disruptive to the mission. This is the recent emphasis on space is because it's so important to our national security, all elements of our national security, not just military, but economic and the other aspects of national power as well. It's so important to all of those. And that moving it is just going to be so disruptive to the mission, to the families of not just the military men and women, but the contractors and the civilians and that whole family that supports U.S. SpaceCom. And of course, anything that's that important to national security, you don't want to create any unnecessary risks at all. And so it makes a whole lot of sense to keep it here long term.
For continuity's sake. And I was doing some reading up on this subject, and the Vice President of Governmental Relations for Space Florida, his quote is that Colorado Springs is the community to beat.
And we certainly agree with that. You know, Space Florida has really been making a strong effort at this. And it says a lot that they recognize that we are the community to beat.
Right, because of all the other infrastructure. Have we already seen, you said that it's already here. Have we seen some of that economic impact already, or is that just kind of hanging in the balance depending on where the permanent location is decided?
So, you know, in the business cycle, 6 years is a lifetime. And so we are seeing some growth already. Last week, Aerospace Corporation announced a very large addition, a facility that will hold 200 new positions here. They're going to allow employees to come here that will remotely support their business enterprises around the country. And at the Chamber EDC, we are aware of a lot of others as well. Unfortunately, I can't talk about those publicly, but we know that there's going to be a lot of growth here already, and we want to continue that growth long-term and not let it be just a short-term thing for the next 6 or 10 years.
Right, and we should mention that part of the Chamber's role and EDC's role is to pave the way and have those private discussions that we know go on. But until something is finalized, you can't make any public announcement because it does have repercussions all along the whole chain, especially if they're publicly traded or have employees that are going to be transferring to this area. A certain protocol is followed. We're going to be continuing our discussion with Reggie Ash, who is bringing so much badly needed information, because I think we're all starved for information as to where this process stands. You know, even in industries that are not directly connected with it, they do, I guess, benefit if this does become the permanent place for Spacecom. And even now, as the temporary headquarters, it certainly is a very important cog in the wheel of our community's economy. We're going to continue our discussion with Reggie Ash, who's the Chief Defense Development Officer for the Chamber of Commerce EDC. We do have to take a short break right now, but we'll be back with more of The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. And we are talking about today here on The Extra, Spacecom, the future of it, where it stands now, and what this means to the community that's eventually selected. And we're talking about the selection process with Reggie Ash, who is the Chief Defense Development Officer for the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce and EDC. And first of all, there's so many aspects to this, but when we're talking about a timeline, early 2021 is when we should know. Would we know the final selection by the Air Force, or how does that work?
Jan, that's exactly right. The Air Force, their timeline is to announce the winner in January of 2021. The steps between now and then are actually right now, we're in a questionnaire phase, an iterative questionnaire phase. The Air Force sent, you know, I mentioned previously the 50-some communities that self-nominated, and they all have a questionnaire now that they have till the end of this month to respond back to the Air Force to let them know what our community has to offer, how they best can support in terms of the evaluation criteria. That phase will go on through the end of October, and then in November, of course, right after the election, the Air Force will do their down select. They'll notify communities if they're in that final phase. There will be some site visits at that point, and then the winner announced in January.
And I know that when you might be, for instance, trying to lure a big employer to the area, to the region, there are certain things that can be looked at in terms of tax breaks or tax structures or properties. Is that the same? Are those the same tools that you have the ability to tap into when you're trying to make a move for a major player like this military branch will be?
You know, there's a different set of incentives. You're absolutely right that in a corporate deal, you're looking at tax breaks and those types of incentives that you can offer a corporation to move their headquarters or move an operation into Colorado Springs. With a federal entity, with the federal government, it works a little bit different than that. And so there are some things we're working with the city on, what incentives that we can offer. There's actually been a lot of things done over the past several months and several years, really, in terms of that. The city has done provided some new land to Peterson to increase the parking space that's available to the headquarters complex there. Actually, parking availability is one of the main criteria. It's part of the largest point area on the evaluation criteria for this. And, you know, we're looking at that, other land, other incentives, working with the city on what we can do in that area to reduce the cost for the federal government to keep U.S. Space Command here long term.
And speaking on behalf of a couple people I know who work out there, hey, covered parking is not a bad idea either, because we get those hailstorms. Still not as bad as the hurricanes that Florida gets, but yeah, we do get occasional hail.
Shannon, if I could just, that's exactly right. You know, one of the great things that Colorado Springs has to offer is that in terms of natural disasters, we have a pretty low incident of that. And not all of the communities that have nominated can say that. You know, in terms of natural disasters, we do get some hailstorms, we do get some snowstorms, but really we are in very good shape in terms of weather and all those natural disaster type of things.
Coastal communities are definitely facing a different, you know, because all of that does tend to weigh down and cause delays for whether you're building or operations, just regular operations. We know it does. And like you said, you know, a slight hailstorm is not really comparable to that. Let's talk about other businesses that could then come, because you were talking about one that's made an announcement, but that's the potential when you're talking about Spacecom is even greater, correct?
It is. That's right. So, you know, traditionally when the Department of Defense creates a combatant command, which is what U.S. Space Command is, a combatant command, a joint command, there's a lot of industry that grows up around them. If you go to the other installations that have combatant commands, there's a lot of contractors lined up outside that gate. And we have a lot of that here in Colorado Springs already, but it's just going to grow all that more if we get it. And, you know, there's the Colorado Space Coalition did a study earlier this summer, and they estimated that the total economic impact of U.S. Space Command being here is over $1 billion. And you know, that's from everything that those 1,400 employees that I mentioned before, from all that they're going to do in the community, the contractors, all the indirect and induced costs as well. And you know, it's hard to pass up on something like that. We really need to go after it with everything that we've got. You know, it's over 5,000 jobs that we're talking about in the community. And so it's just a tremendous impact to a community that already does a lot to support its military and veterans.
Right. We have been experiencing growth, but certainly that would cause even more growth and then possibly put us in a trajectory to dealing with some of those issues that come along with it. When businesses, some of these companies that are ancillary, is this something where you reach out, you start laying the groundwork, or is it something where they're reaching out to the chamber and EDC?
You know, Shannon, they are already reaching out to us with their plans. And like I said before, they've asked us to keep it quiet for now and help facilitate for them, helping them to find, you know, office space or land where they might build and those sorts of things. And so they are reaching out to us for our help in growing here in Colorado Springs.
You're already seeing that. Interesting, interesting. Okay, well, we need to take another break. We're talking with Reggie Ash, who's the Chief Defense Development Officer for the Chamber and EDC, and we're talking about Spacecom, all things Spacecom, and certainly it's eye-opening when you consider the impact on, I mean, you could say real estate, on tax revenues. It could conceivably change the playing field of what we're dealing with here in Southern Colorado, most for the positive. I'm sure that there will be, you know, with growth also comes challenges. So definitely something to be considering. But we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue the discussion here on The Extra. Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And today we are talking about the important issue of the location of Spacecom, where the newest combatant command will be of the nation will be located eventually permanently. For now, Colorado Springs is the provisional location of it. And that lasts for how many years? We've got Reggie Ash, who's on the line. He's the Chief Defense Development Officer for the Chamber of Commerce. How long is it here provisionally?
Jan, that's about 6 years provisionally, and that gives the Department of the Air Force the time to run this permanent selection process. And then after they announce the winner in January 2021, it gives them time to do the environmental assessments as well as constructing a new headquarters building for them. The Air Force estimates that'll take about 6 years, and so that's why they're saying we get the provisional for about 6 years. Of course, we think we're going to get the provisional
permanently.
Long-term.
Permanently, right. Permanently. And the chances looked, some might argue that the chances looked likelier in the early stages of this discussion because there were two other locations that were in the running, California and Alabama. But now it's been expanded. The competition is wide open. What was the reason for expanding that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. A year ago, there were six finalists that the Air Force had announced. Three of those were right here in Colorado Springs. There was a fourth in Aurora, Buckley Air Force Base. And then, as you mentioned, Alabama and California had the other two. And honestly, we think politics had a play in that. No, I'll tell you, our delegation has really been superb. They've been talking to the President and the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of the Air Force, as well as the Commander of U.S. Space Command, General Raymond, a lot on this issue, making sure that they're fully aware of all the assets that Colorado brings to bear for U.S. Space Command. But there were other states as well that were pushing this politically. We think that they don't have as many assets as the state of Colorado and Colorado Springs in particular, but politically they were pushing the issue very much, and we think that it's because of that politics that the president announced he was going to delay this decision until after the election.
Yeah, because when you're talking about the whole enchilada, there's a lot at play, and everybody wants to get a shot at it, correct?
That is absolutely right. There, as I said before, there are 26 states now that have nominated to host U.S. Space Command because it's a big economic impact. And it's a lot of stature as well as a lot of status that goes along with hosting U.S. Space Command. It's a growing industry. It's a growing mission for the Department of Defense. And so a lot of communities want a piece of that pie that right now we have here in Colorado Springs. We are the epicenter of military space operations.
Yeah, and certainly I don't want to detract from that reality because it is there, but you mentioned politics. Politics can play a part. Is there, playing devil's advocate, is there a risk? Because now SpaceCom has taken other military groups that had been aligned under the Air Force or with other places, and it has taken them now under its command. Presumably, if we do not land SpaceCom permanently, would we risk losing what had been a significant part of, say, Peterson Air Force Base if they have to follow to where the command is? Am I making sense in that argument? In that concern?
There is some accuracy in that, yes. There is a possibility that now, you know, Peterson Air Force Base is absolutely going to stay here, and Schriever Air Force Base and Cheyenne Mountain, those will all stay right here. But, you know, of course, all the current units that are there under the U.S. Space Command headquarters umbrella, those would all be at risk of moving somewhere else. And really what concerns me even more is that industry could follow them. And so our defense industry could end up shrinking as they follow the headquarters to a new location. So that's one of the reasons that we're fighting so hard to make sure that we keep U.S. Space Command here.
Is there any risk to fighting too hard? I mean, will the do you think the politicians who maybe, you know, have influence in terms of talk, you know, how they have these discussions with military command. Do you think that that could backfire in terms of, you know, trying to make it seem like a slam dunk?
You know, I don't think we can advocate too hard. I think we need to advocate as strongly as we can, but we need to do it smartly. We need to have savvy when we do it. And our congressional delegation absolutely has that savvy. And we've also hired some consultants, some PR consultants and some political advocacy consultants to help us out with this as well. And we're very confident that we've hired the right team that are going to help us, you know, highlight all the great things, the tremendous workforce, the infrastructure that we have here in Colorado Springs. And, it, you know, just highlighting the fact that Colorado Springs offers the best return on investment for taxpayers, and we're the overall best choice for the mission.
Yeah, and this is a decision that has impact for, we're not just talking for decades to come, possibly for centuries ahead as this country ages, because, I mean, right now we're the provisional, as you said, the provisional headquarters for this, but the impact long-term has the potential to just bring so many positives. A few negatives. What would you say is anything that you could foresee as being potentially negative about this?
Well, I certainly don't see much in the negative because I have...
You're not in the negative business.
That's right. I'm not in the negative business, Sharon. But you know what? But that's because I work so closely with our elected leaders on this. And, you know, I mentioned before the congressional delegation doing a fantastic job. Our local leaders from Mayor Suthers and the City Council and the Board of County Commissioners at the Chamber and EDC, we work very closely with all of them. And we know all of the effort that they're putting into our local infrastructure. You know, we recently, in the past few years, have passed the Stormwater Initiative, and, you know, we have in Colorado Springs, we've got the road infrastructure improvements that are happening all over town, and those are great things that set us up not just for U.S. space and military growth, but for other economic development growth as well. And then we've also fostered great partnerships with Shoshana Liu, the executive director of CDOT, and our other transportation partners. And, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, Executive Director Liu was in Colorado Springs for a ribbon-cutting ceremony on a $123 million military transportation infrastructure project. And a big piece of that is going to be Highway 94 between Peterson and Schriever. And that's something that directly impacts on U.S. Space Command being here and facilitating safe transportation for those safe assets, the safe transportation of those assets, space assets, between Peterson and Schriever.
Right, because that will hopefully relieve or let up some of the traffic jams and prevent them from getting worse, because, you know, that's the one area that I could see as a potential, when you have more growth, you're going to have more traffic on the roads. It sounds like, though, state leadership in the Transportation Department is cognizant of that and trying to make provisions so that we avoid that. So that's great. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be transitioning a bit. We're going to talk to Mr. Ash about COVID-19 and mask wearing and the impact. And that's coming up just a minute on The Extra. And welcome to the final segment of today's Extra show. And today it's been really fascinating. We've been talking all things Spacecom with Reginald Ash, who is the Chief Defense Development Officer for the Chamber of Commerce EDC here in Colorado Springs. And Mr. Ash, let me just, because some of our audience may not know exactly what the Chamber of Commerce and EDC are, and is it a quasi-governmental agency or completely private? Can you kind of illuminate us on that?
Shana, we are a private nonprofit organization. We do get some funding from government sources, but we are a private organization. We work closely with the city and county and our elected leaders at all levels, as I mentioned before. The Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC is the area's largest Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development organization.
Okay. And, you know, all communities, most communities that are this size or larger have such representatives, I guess, who are there to help businesses locate here, help maintain the health of our local economy. We've seen definitely the efforts that the chamber has expended to making sure that businesses survive this pandemic. How has the pandemic, would you say, impacted not just businesses, but also when you're talking about this effort to bring some large combatant command, is what they call it, right? Bring it here. How has the pandemic, do you think, and our response, our state's response, our community's response, how do you think that's impacted it, or it has it?
Well, you know, Shannon, I think that our state and our community has responded very well to the pandemic, and I think that that works in our favor. We were able to reopen our economy fairly quickly, and let's, you know, we need to do everything that we can to keep our economy open at this point. You know, when the pandemic first started and all the businesses shut down, our number one goal was to help reopen the economy as quickly as possible, and we advocated through the governor's office and the state health department on variances for the county. We worked with our county commissioners to submit variances, and we were successful in getting a lot of those variances passed for El Paso County. Since then, we shifted our focus to keeping businesses open. You know, that's if we're going to get out of this recession, we got to keep our businesses open and get them open to a greater degree. And, you know, the important part of that is doing all that we can to limit the spread of coronavirus. And that includes social distancing and that includes mask wearing. And we understand that a lot of people don't, well, I don't like wearing a mask either. But, you know, science has really evolved on that. And it shows that wearing a mask and the social distancing are things that help limit the spread. And so, you know, we're advocating for those things because it helps keep our economy open.
I've often remarked to friends around the country that I think one of the areas where our response involving mask wearing seems to be outperforming a lot of other places in the country is because we do have so many military and retired military here who are used to rules and regulations. And even though we all like our personal liberty, there has been, it feels like, a much more widespread embrace of mask wearing here.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it's actually one that I've made to my friends and family around the country as well. You know, the military personnel and the veterans, they love our personal liberties and freedoms just as much as everybody else does. And so we none of us like the idea of being required to wear a mask anywhere, but that discipline that comes from being in the military that our large veteran community has here, El Paso County has over 85,000 veterans, which says a lot about our community. And they are more disciplined. And so if you tell them that this is what we need to do, it's the smart and the safe thing to do, then the vast majority of them are going to do exactly that. And that's why we're doing so well. And that, I think, fares very well with the U.S. Space Command decision.
Right, and leading by example. That's another big military ism that I think permeates the community. And you certainly see that it feels like playing out with mask wearing as well. We only have like a minute left. So finally, for our listeners, can you just, I guess, sum up in about a minute what the future of potentially becoming the headquarters, the permanent headquarters for SpaceCom would mean to this community?
Well, you know, Colorado Springs has a rich military legacy dating back to 1941 when we first lobbied the federal government to bring Camp Carson at the time here, of course, now Fort Carson, to the area. Again, in the 1950s, this community rallied and told the federal government, you need to put the Air Force Academy here. There is no community that is going to take better care of those cadets, and we've done exactly that. And now we're letting the federal government know that we have got the infrastructure, the workforce, and the community services that support our armed forces, our military, their families and veterans, both on the field and at home, better than any place else in the country. And there's just no better place for the permanent home of U.S. Space Command than right here in Colorado Springs.
And you mentioned those cadets. I remember some of the seniors who graduated last spring being interviewed, and they're joining Spacecom. They're going right into it, so they don't even have to move very far, so that's great.
That's right. The only commissioning source right now, their only direct commissioning source into the Space Force is the Air Force Academy, and so that's just one more reason that it belongs right here.
Very well said. Reggie Ash is the Chief Defense Development Officer for the Chamber of Commerce and EDC here in Colorado Springs. We want to thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks, Shannon. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this hour getting to talk with you and with our residents here in Colorado Springs. What a great topic to talk about. Thank you.
And I feel like we all know more about why this isn't so important and where it stands right now. You've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio.